Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar.
It's Thunder and Lightning. It's Super Talk Mississippi. I don't even know what the rest of the thing. Thank you. This is Super Talk Mississippi. It's Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Sunday afternoon, Monday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. By the way, real quick, the salute to service, one of the best things Mississippi State does, had that World War II veteran. You talk about a true badass. That guy has to be like 100 years old, and he's out there.
We're losing them.
So salute to you, sir. We appreciate you. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Theo.
Yeah, it would be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state.
Yep.
You can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. Just click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Shout out to our good friend Theo DeRosa.
That's right.
The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. I think we personally all should eat beef. We should take it out on the cows, what happened. Like, oh, Longhorn beat us? All right, watch this.
Yeah.
Medium rare. Take that, you know. Mississippi Beef Council is not to blame for this. They are to blame when you're hungry. They're not to blame. They're the ones you need to reach out to, because you should be eating a steak today, tomorrow. I got that tri-tip. You know, I've talked about it. It's wet aging as we speak. I thought of that. No one had to tell me about it. So
I can't wait to have that.
That's going to be great, yeah. Robbie and I are going to watch the Arkansas game together, and we might spoon a little, to be honest with you, at the rate we're going. But we'll talk about that another time. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Are you looking for a great Mississippi State gift for this holiday season? As we get closer and closer to Christmas, you can get it at College Corner. Everything you're looking for, maroon and white, with the logos that you want, including the cursed interlocking logo. Yep.
No.
It's cursed.
No.
I'm going there.
It's not.
Two locations in the Jackson area.
We're not doing that.
Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell. You can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. Best meal in town is Restaurant Tyler. Full disclosure, Robbie and I ate lunch at a different restaurant today, but while I was in line, I heard two different people talking about, they went to Restaurant Tyler and said it was really good. So even at other restaurants, they're talking about Restaurant Tyler. Enjoy the best Sunday brunch in town whenever you're in town, or if you can just get lunch or dinner. It's always a great, great meal at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. PriorityOneBank.com is the place, the guide to find the location nearest you. And you get to find a bank that treats you like a neighbor and not like a number. A bank that has a relationship with you, not just your money. A bank that's going to help you prepare and invest and plan for the future. If you are looking for a bank where service is what matters, I suggest you check out Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. I'm in the talking business. This is my job. I talk. This is my job. And it's rare that I don't have anything to say. There's not a lot to say. There will be things that are true. There will be coffees or closures. We'll have a podcast. But I read into Tyler Klass from the classroom and from, of course, from one of our favorite restaurants, Boardtown. And I saw him at, we were at Kroger. I was getting out of the car. He's getting out of the car. He says, oh, he's talking to somebody. He's like, I'll call you back. But he sees me. And I just looked at him. I was like, do you want to hug it out? And we did. We had a hug right there in the parking lot. And everybody I see that I know, it's like we just came back from a funeral. It's like the first question is like, are you okay? How you holding up? Like somebody's mom died. That's what Mississippi State football is right now. 45-38 is the final score. Mississippi State suffers its second loss in overtime of the season, a second game where they blow a double-digit, or not a double-digit, but a fourth-quarter lead. They didn't have a double-digit lead on Tennessee. A game that was so securely in the bag, it's almost improbable that they got away. You may have seen this stat. Let me see if I can find it here because I want to read it word for word. I want to make sure I get it right. This is from last night. This is from Chris Hummer, who's a national college football writer for CBS Sports. Entering yesterday, FBS teams had lost 429 straight games while trailing by at least 17 points with 10 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter. Texas just broke that streak, scoring 24 straight and a 45-38 overtime win over Mississippi State. Mm. On that note, tell them, Falk.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know what this podcast would have been like had we recorded right after the game. I really don't, because this is carried over.
You're talking about after the game, if they had lost?
Yeah.
We just come straight from the stadium?
Yeah.
I think it would have been angrier. It'd be a little less, like, less resigned to the fate.
I say this, I feel like every time State loses, especially in this way, mm-hmm. like, again, this is not a difficult job to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hard labor involved.
Right.
But when you and I have an emotional attachment that we know, everybody knows.
Yeah.
The people that act like they're you know, greater than that, even though we know how they feel on the inside, is just stupid.
Mm-hmm.
That you can't just pull that out whenever you grow up cheering for a team that you cover. You can handle yourself in a respectful fashion.
Which we do.
You can call things for what they are. You can report objectively, but the emotional side of it doesn't ever leave. And so whenever you continue to watch these games transpire the way that they are for Mississippi State, you can't help but hurt. You can't. I hurt for the players. I hurt for the coaching staff. I mean, I don't know if people know this, but the coaches aren't trying to lose these games.
I feel like they get lost in the shuffle sometimes.
There is no one involved in Mississippi State athletics, including the fans, that wants to win as badly as this coaching staff and these players.
Right.
They're the ones that are having to go out every single day and turn the page and continue to try to get better. So let's get that out of the way right there.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad for them because this group just does not know how to win. And I think that's the biggest thing right now with this Mississippi State program, and that's what really hurts the most about it, is that last year they just were helpless.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, no matter how they schemed it up, no matter what they did,
right,
they had no chance of beating anybody in the SEC.
Correct.
They were. I know they were within striking distance against a couple of teams.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't winning those games.
Right.
And so this is what's really upsetting about this team, is they could very easily be 7-1 right now in the college football playoff talk, and probably a top 10 team at this point if you're 7-1. Mm-hmm. You have wins over top 25 Arizona State, mm-hmm. top 25 top 20 Tennessee, top 25 Texas, three top 25 wins at that point, and then you have a 3-1 start in SEC play. Mississippi State's one of the top teams in the country. That's how small the margin is for this team right now, and that small margin is actually, it feels like, massive because mm-hmm. they haven't proven they can win.
Right.
Jeff Lebby should be SEC Coach of the Year right mm-hmm. now. With what he's done from a 2-10 team,
mm-hmm.
you can't deny the fact that this program is infinitely better than it was last year from a talent standpoint,
right,
from results standpoint on the field, the wins and losses is what's separating them. So Jeff Lebby is a guy that could very easily, with a couple of plays, be 7-1 and in the running for National Coach of the Year. And instead, he's got a fan base that wants him fired.
You know what's
funny? That's how small the margin is right now.
You know what's funny? He could have one more win, be 5-3, and be in the discussion for National Coach of the Year. He just won yesterday.
Well,
you have that discussion.
If you talk to people nationally, they recognize that Mississippi State looks like a good team. But the results do not bear that out.
Right.
When you look at Mississippi State, and it's the game, how it played out was so weird, too. Like, I can't explain it. Mississippi State's up 17 points with 12 minutes to go. That's almost – there's no chance you're coming back from that.
Right.
And you read the stat. So that in itself is improbable to do. You went up against the number 5 defense nationally in total defense, number 3 in scoring. They have not given up 30 or more points in the in regulation since 2023. So this is a defense that they don't give up a lot of points. They don't give up a lot of yards. Mississippi State had almost 500 yards of offense. They had almost 400 yards passing, and they scored 38 points. If you show anybody that stat sheet pregame, if you show me Blake Shapen, 381, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, I'm taking Mississippi State in that game. The defense, I thought, looked like they played – an absolute banger of a game, and this was one of Texas's best games offensively. It's just improbable how this all worked out. And here's the best way that I can explain it from my point of view. And I don't want, when I mention this man's name, I don't want anybody thinking I'm promoting him as a future head coach of Mississippi State. When I was growing up and I moved to Louisville when I was 90, it was 1995, December, I moved to Louisville. We went to Winston Academy. Winston Academy, at that time, they had played for a state championship with Herbert Davis a few years prior. But from like 92 to 95, that team won like 8 games combined. In one of those years, they were 0-11 or 0-10. The next year, 95, they were like 4-6. So Winston hires a man by the name of Mark Cutspeth. And everybody knows who he is. This guy comes in. He was a – at Winston Academy, he was Bear Bryant.
Yeah.
When he walked around, like, people looked at him. We looked at him like a god. He had the crew cut.
Yeah.
He had that old school mentality. And he brought to Winston Academy a winning mindset that – really had never been seen there before. They'd won state championships, but it had never been seen before. He took over a program that had won 4 games in 2 years, and in year one they were 11-1, and they started off 10-0. They went undefeated in the regular season, and that started the next year state championship team. They won 4 straight state championships with 3 different coaches, and it was a mindset that Mark Hudspeth brought in to build that program and to create winners. That is what Mississippi State is missing right now. They don't know how to win games. They don't know how to win.
Right.
Nobody on this roster knows how to win.
Correct.
And so you have a first-time head coach that's never had to win ball games in that position. He's never had to coach a team to big-time wins. And he's trying to figure it out. And these players are trying to figure it out. And right now, they're just doing things throughout the game. I can name you – you know, 5 or 6 different things that happened last night in the fourth quarter and overtime alone that cost them. And whenever you're stacking those things up, it means that your team is doing too much in the ball game to find a way to lose.
Right.
And that is Mississippi State right now in a nutshell. They don't know how to win.
Yeah.
And I know we're going to talk a lot about, you know, Jeff Lebby and some of the players and things like that. I think there's a multitude of issues, but it's a very complicated conversation to have because, to me, I think it's very clear that Jeff Lebby does a great job of getting his team ready to play. Within a game, for the most part, Mississippi State has opportunities there to go win games against good teams. I don't think Texas is the number one team in the country, but it's still a very talented team.
Yeah.
and Mississippi State was on the verge of beating them. Tennessee's a very good team on the verge of beating them. You know, you're in the game with Texas A&M for three quarters, who I think right now they could be rising to national championship contender.
They're really good.
Mississippi State is so close to knocking the door down.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue that you have now is you have a fan base that's incredibly fractured. They were already on the fence. And while we see tangible evidence that Jeff Lebby is moving this program in a positive direction, albeit not with wins, he's not winning games, which is the ultimate result you have to have. And he's got to have fan support to get better next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he's going to have that. So that's the crossroads you're kind of at now with Jeff Lebby and Mississippi State fans. Is he's got to win games. And I don't know when this is going to end. I really don't. Until they prove to us that they can do it, how can we be confident that's going to happen?
Yeah, that's just the way that it is right now. That the belief is at a low, low level for Mississippi State. There's no question about that. All right, let's do this. These are the things that are true. That is brought to you by Bell Building Supply. I've been trying to convince my wife all week. We've been having dishwasher problems. I was like, let's go look at these things. Look at these Cove dishwashers. I mean, yeah, it's a big investment, but we wouldn't have to worry about it again. So if anybody can help me convince her, I would appreciate that. I don't want to get a dishwasher for my wife for Christmas. I feel like that's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
But
when you start getting appliances and things, that's
not where I want to be.
For us, we kind of like stuff like that.
Well, I mean,
power tools.
Yeah, yeah, for us. Yeah, yeah, for not for the wife. But yeah. That being said, if you want to invest in your home, if you want to turn your kitchen into a top-notch place, Bell Building Supply can help you do that with the Cove dishwasher, the Wolf ranges, and the Sub-Zero fridges. These are the top-of-the-line products. I'm not talking about a top-of-the-line product. I'm talking about the number one. These are as good as they get, and you can get them at Bell Building Supply. If you are looking to make an investment in your home, to make your home a better place for your family, that's what these appliances are going to do. Check them out online and then head to Bell Building Supply. Talk to them and say, I want the best. I want the Cove dishwasher, the Wolf range, the Sub-Zero refrigerator. I promise you will not be disappointed when you make a trip to Bell Building Supply and check out these awesome, awesome appliances. I've only got seven things that are true. And I'll tell you, they're pretty big picture, if we're being honest. You know, I'm not going to get too deep into the game itself. But number one, and I think I'm right on this, that is the most painful non-Egg Bowl loss of all time.
It's up there.
I mean, I have tried to think of one that hurt more, and I can't. I cannot. That is a day where you go from a complete celebration that you're beating down a ranked team.
Mm-hmm.
You're beating down a national brand. You're beating down a Manning. This is everything. I mean, not only you win the game, but Arch Manning was having a terrible game with 12 minutes to go.
Yeah.
And you have
he was in hell.
You've made his life hell for 3.5 quarters. And here we are. So, you know, I would say the 97 Egg Bowl, probably more painful. The 2014 Egg Bowl where you had a chance to go to the playoff, probably more painful. And then that
2010
you
know, Arkansas.
That might that this is worse
I
than that.
I think this is worse than that.
This
but
is
that's
worse than that.
That's up there. 09 LSU.
That's up there, but this is worse than that.
Yeah. Well, it's just because by the time whenever Devon Booth, I'll say whenever Devon Booth took that long run, little improvised. You're sitting there going, they're not going to get beat tonight.
Yeah.
They're locked in.
Yeah. And it just never.
And that would have been a celebration to remember because you finally ended the SEC streak over a top 25 team in that fashion. Fans would have been fully on board.
Yeah.
And it goes back to what I say, like the margin right now for Jeff Lebby is so thin.
Yeah.
He's the difference in him being hurled on people's shoulders and carried out of the stadium
mm-hmm.
and him being people wanting to kick him out on the curb is so small right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's life in the SEC, man. I mean, how many people a few weeks ago were you know, LSU fans telling everybody to shut up. There's nothing wrong with LSU. Brian Kelly's great. And now those people are wanting to gut him like a fish.
We'll talk about the Tigers later.
Okay.
Number two, I'm going to disagree with something you said. I saw this on a message board. I don't know if it was on Twitter or on the message board or what, but it's not that Mississippi State should be 7-1. So they should be 3-5. The fact that Sadio Traore unwittingly trips up a blitzing defender is the only reason State beats Arizona State. If he runs that route clean and doesn't rub that guy, which he's not trying to do.
Yeah, but that's guy just gets, part of the game.
That guy gets to – well, I understand that, but all the other stuff that State should be 7-1 is part of the game.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think that they went –
I think this team is much closer to being a 3-5 team than
they are. They are. They were trailing in the final minute and a half. They are, but they do deserve credit for going and winning that game.
They deserve the credit, but at the same time, I can't sit here and tell you that they should be 7-1 more than they should be.
I mean, that's talking about, it's kind of a testament to them finding ways to lose those games.
Yeah.
So we're talking about they found a way to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
They did not find a way to win the others. So, yeah, I give them credit for winning that game. And mm-hmm. I thought they played well in that game. These other ones, they just gave away.
It's a similar game. They were up 17. They blew that lead. But they get the lucky play that goes their way. And then this one, they these other three, four games, they haven't. All right. Number three, some people know how to win and some people don't. And it just is that simple. And Jeff Libby doesn't know how to win. Just doesn't know how to win.
But
I could have. Somebody said on, I think it was on your board or maybe in Twitter, because I was reading your, because I every now and then just for laughs I read your replies. And somebody, random people was like, I could have just tagged in for Libby at that moment. 9 minutes to go in the game. I'll tag in. I coach the rest of the game and State wins.
One thing that I would like to know is, for him, how is he adjusting to being play caller / game manager?
Yeah.
Because there are very few people out there that call a game and also are the head coach that could do a great job of managing those situations.
Right.
And I think there's something to be said about, like, you're kind of locked in on a play sheet and you're locked in on what do we call right here and moving ahead. I think that's a big reason why you're snapping the ball with 20 seconds left on the clock. I mean, State, even if they get a 3-and-out on those two possessions they had, they probably could have ran, close to 2 minutes off the clock.
Yeah.
And that matters in a game like what we saw. So, yeah, I mean, I think that it's totally a situation where he just has never had to do this before. And he doesn't know what to do. Like, he doesn't know how to go win a game yet. It hasn't happened. But doesn't it feel like a little bit to you that maybe I'm just being ultra positive on this, but doesn't it feel like when they do get that win, that not like the dam isn't going to break?
No,
but
I've said that last week. I said if State could win against Texas, they could probably beat. They'll beat Arkansas, and they'll probably pick off another one.
Yeah,
and they would. Look at it now. Let's say State had won yesterday. All right, you'd think for sure they're going to beat Arkansas, right?
I would be very confident in that game if they would have won.
Missouri just lost its quarterback. You would think they're going to Missouri to win, and then the Egg Bowl. Ole Miss coming in here, maybe having to win to get into the playoff.
There are a lot of Ole Miss fans that are uneasy about that game because they see that State is capable.
Right.
I talked to a couple of them last night, and I told them I just don't know if this team – Ole Miss is winning tough games.
Yeah, and State
– And State's not.
Yeah.
And how can you feel confident about any lead at this point?
You don't.
You had a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter. I have never seen someone come back from that.
No, it should be –
what was the score in the Auburn game in 99?
State was down 16-3. No, okay, 13 points.
That's two.
And Auburn gave them 2 points in that comeback. They took the safety.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, and that was an improbable comeback. The comeback they had against Auburn in 2021, that State started to break into that lead in the second quarter.
Yeah.
To be up 14 points in the fourth quarter and you surrender 24 straight
that's
in the fourth quarter in overtime.
Improbable.
Improbable.
It's statistically improbable.
So until. I cannot. I'll go ahead and spoil it. I'm not going to pick State against Arkansas, just because I can't. And Arkansas right now is probably worse than Mississippi State, but it's at home, and I have no faith in Mississippi State at this point to pick them.
Yeah.
So I really do believe, though, when they get that first one, if they get that first one,
mm-hmm. if they win Saturday against Arkansas, they'll win one more. They'll win one more.
Because I just see it with this team. Like, mm-hmm. I know everybody's frustrated, but you can't watch Mississippi State play and say this team just they're terrible.
Mm-hmm.
They're not terrible.
Right.
The defense swarming like they did on Saturday night, that looked like a defense from Dan Mullen's tenure. Some of those defenses that Mississippi State had back then, and this is not the most talented defensive unit they've had.
Right.
I thought they were well coached. I thought they played extremely hard on that side of the ball. I know the stats were kind of skewed late in the game, and they've been bad in the fourth quarter. There's no way around that. I think that a lot of that has to do with the fact that they're just absolutely gassed at that point. But right now, this team is showing signs of being a really good football team that can't win. And they're just finding ways to shoot themselves in the foot, to lose ball games. The Deontay Anderson play was just horrific, and it started the spiral. When that happened, anybody that's watched Mississippi State for a long period of time could have told you things are about to start getting bad, and they did.
Yeah. Where are we here? Number four. All week I said it. I said it all week. There would come a play where Mississippi State could make the play and win or not make the play and lose. The play was roughing the passer. If you
what
don't
I just said,
yeah.
You didn't listen to me.
No, I listened.
Okay.
But I had it written down. I gotta go with it anyway. What's the scenario there? You're taking over up 17 on the Texas 34-yard line with
Was it that far down the field? I thought it was like the 20.
They were deep in Texas territory. Yeah.
And you would have scored another touchdown.
I mean, at the very least, you're going to get a field goal. And you don't. And Deontay Anderson has been here since what? He's a Moorhead guy, right?
Yeah.
So he's been here forever.
This is his fifth year.
A veteran guy. And I hate to say this, but that's coaching. Because before you say it's like, well, a player just lost his head. Would a Nick Saban player ever do that? Would a Kirby Smart player do that? Make that play in that moment?
Well, they did a few weeks ago, Georgia, the guy jumping on the pile after the play. That was mm-hmm. pretty stupid.
Did they lose the game? Was that against Alabama?
Alabama got a first down. It was late in the ball game, and the guy just jumped on the pile.
Will that guy play again for Georgia? I don't know.
Yeah. Georgia is a little more undisciplined
little
than
more.
Bama, but Bama wouldn't have done that.
That's what. But good coaching, a veteran player has got to have the coaching to know better in that situation. Like, I have to stop. I got to pull up. I can't allow it to happen. That's where the game got away from Mississippi State. And you can pick, look, I could pick three or four other plays. A couple times they went for a fourth down. The third and one where they bring in Camario. Instead of letting a 6'3", 240-pound tank just blow through the middle, they'd run him out wide, and Texas is able to get out there to him.
I actually wish coaches would stop trying to outthink themselves on that
and just do what
the Eagles do and get under center. You don't have
That's
to do the tush-push.
If you tush-push with Camario Taylor, you get Camario Taylor and you put – Sam West and Max Reese behind him.
Well,
and say just go.
And you don't
he's
even
the first down.
You don't even have to do that.
Yeah, you just sneak.
Can he not get 1 yard under center?
He will get 1 yard. It's
the craziest thing I've ever seen.
It's one of those things though. It just drives
but,
me crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that play lost Mississippi State the game because they had times where they could have got out of it, but it got Texas motivated. After that, they were going four and out on that possession.
Mm-hmm.
They had no life. Mississippi State was swarming. They had a stop on that play. If Deontay Anderson just pulls up, just you didn't have to do anything right there. That pass was going to be incomplete. Arch Manning's throwing a 40-yard pass down the field on fourth and one.
Mm-hmm.
You're about to get off the field. You're about to go score a touchdown or something and go up three touchdowns at that point.
Mm-hmm.
They have no shot of coming back after that. And instead, they score on four plays. After that, your defense starts to get gassed. Your offense can't sustain a first down. It played out a lot like that Tennessee game, except for State had a much more comfortable lead in this game. So it was huge. It was a huge penalty, and it's just a continuation of this team being undisciplined when it comes to those penalties. And it was a killer. It really was.
Yeah. Number five. I'm going to say that I don't think State's going to make a move. I don't think they are. Now, I'm sitting here, it's October 26th. I could feel differently on November 2nd when we do this show, when we do this recap kind of show again, right?
Yeah.
I could. And don't forget, we're the two guys that last or 2 years ago were the first ones to say Arnett is in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Lebby's in trouble this year. I'm not saying I have a lot of belief in Lebby. I am saying that I don't think they're going to do it this year. But what I'm going to say is this. If you're going to make a move this year, it has to be a big one. And I'm not even talking about G5. I'm talking about you got to go out and say, we are willing to pay $11 to $12 million a year to get a real head coach in here.
And it can't be a, let's make a move and then go do it. You have to be moving and shaking behind the scenes if you do that.
Right. Now, Mullen might give you a discount. He might come for like $6 or $7, $8 million.
And I told you last night for the game, full disclosure, I don't think that they are going to make a change either.
Right.
And part of that is, look, I understand he isn't winning games. And I wrote a column about this. You can read my thoughts on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm speaking kind of objectively on this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that the problem that you have now with Jeff Lebby, since he's not winning games, fans are going to start jumping off the bandwagon. They're going to decide, I'm not going to give money to this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you fall in trouble in this era of football. If you don't have fan support in this era especially, you're mm-hmm. doomed. And that's the problem that you have right now. More and more people are saying, I'm just out. I talked to several last night that said, I won't be back this year.
Mm-hmm.
Not giving money. So what you're dealing with now is a fan base that's fractured and they're starting to pull away. You can't build a roster that way. You can't build a roster without support. So that's kind of the conundrum that you're in here, especially if you go 0-16 to start your career. And at the end of the day, all that matters is wins. But I said this last week, some people got upset about me saying this.
Mm-hmm.
Mississippi State does not want to get into this coaching carousel.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. So if you get in it, you better have somebody lined up.
Yeah.
And to me, if you're going the Mullen route, there needs to be something happening behind the scenes
mm-hmm.
where you're talking to him and you agree to something in principle.
Yeah. Sort of what Scott Strickland did with Ben Howland.
Yeah. You would have to know for a fact that you have him lined up.
Yeah.
Because you can't afford to get in this coaching carousel, go make another hire that is perceived to be a bad hire,
mm-hmm.
and that guy come in and you're right back in the same situation that you're in. You need to get, if you're going to get involved in this, you're going to have to go get a proven head coach that has built a program before, that has done things in that way. To me, Dan Mullen would be an ideal person for that job because he's been here. Mm-hmm. He knows the people. I know there's still people here that can't stand the guy, but he produced the greatest era of Mississippi State football in the modern football era.
Mm-hmm.
One of, if not the best coaches that's ever coached here, and he did it at a place that has not had this kind of success since Jackie Sherrill. So you have to have somebody like that lined up, and I just don't know if that's going to happen. So to me, the best possibility is Jeff Lebby figures it out, finds a way to two more wins, gets Mississippi State in a bowl game, gets a lot of people back on board, and they hit the ground running in the portal. They fill the holes, and they're right back at it next year because they do have players on this roster
mm-hmm.
that can make this team, if they figure it out, mm-hmm. they figure out how to win, this team next year could be really good.
Yeah.
But they've got to win. He cannot go 0-16.
Yeah.
If he's 0-16, that conversation's going
to
be had.
It has to be had.
Yeah, it has to be had.
So.
I still, as dejecting as last night was, it still feels like they're going to get somebody. Like the law of averages eventually flip in Mississippi State's favor. Like you cannot.
You would think so.
I've never experienced a team like this.
It's really weird. Yeah.
Like the 2009 team wasn't even like this.
No, 2009 team had that close one with LSU, but Alabama blew them out. Florida, they didn't really have a chance.
They were kind of in the game with Florida.
Yeah, for a moment. Auburn blew them out. They beat Vanderbilt, obviously. That's the other thing. They beat Vandy early in the season. They beat
Georgia
Kentucky.
Tech pretty much blew them out.
Yeah, they beat Kentucky. Houston, they didn't have much of a chance in that game. So, yeah. Where are we? Number six. Mississippi State has stretched its fans to the breaking point. There's not a lot left to give, and that ties into number seven. Let's go ahead and give it to you. I've seen a lot of give up on social media and on message boards and in person, to be honest with you. And I want you guys to know one thing from Brian Haydad. I'm not going to blame anybody if that's the path they take at this point. If somebody says, I can't come back, I can't do this, I understand. I understand. There are things you could be doing on Saturdays that, you know, are more enjoyable. This is not enjoyable right now. And I've talked about that before, right? This is an entertainment business at the end of the day. You're spending, these are your entertainment dollars. And if you think your time would be better spent going to a cabin in the woods, going to the beach, going, you know, hanging out with family, doing whatever, man. Brian Haydad is not going to be the guy who comes on the air and says, we need you at the Georgia game. If the Georgia game is not full, I understand why it's not full. If Georgia fans are filling up the stadium, I understand why you sold your tickets. I get it. I'm not going to blame anybody for anything. Mississippi State has asked. You guys have delivered. There's money. There's fan support. Everything's there, and they're not winning. What more can you guys do? So if you want to tap, you're not going to have any judgment from me. Maybe from others, not from me.
I was shocked at the crowd yesterday.
Good crowd. Really good crowd.
That was,
there's a decent Texas contingent, but it wasn't anything like the Tennessee game.
It filled in really nice. There wasn't patches of empty seats. They were loud. This fan base, this year especially, they have done everything within their power to will
everything
that's
been asked of them, they have given.
This is the best the fans have been since probably 2018. The students have packed it out. The fans.
The students are awesome.
Students have been awesome.
Guys, got to get that TIFO thing straight. That was rough yesterday.
It felt like a lot of them didn't want to participate.
Yeah.
And they said they weren't pulling it down. But it would have looked awesome if you would have, those guys would have got involved. But no, the crowds have been incredible and they're doing their part. They're loud. They stay loud the whole game. They've done everything they can. They've done everything they can. And you've asked this fan base, who already was incredibly fractured with Mississippi State athletics and football in general, you asked them to give millions of dollars. They did it.
They did.
You asked them to buy tickets and come to the game. They did it, with the exception of the Tennessee game. But, you know, I thought it was still a decent contingent. You asked them to be loud the whole game, to stay in the stadium. They've done it every game, every single game. They've delivered an atmosphere that has shook the other team throughout the ball game. And right now, Mississippi State is not doing its part. They are not doing their part in this. And that is where you're losing people now. That they're just tired. We're tired, but we can't.
Yeah, what are we going to do?
We can't stop. Yeah. Like, we got to. Now, this is better. To me, it's actually better than the alternative of last year where we just didn't even want to. We contemplated not even doing a podcast. It's back to the point where everyone cares again. You know, everybody, this hurts people that they were not really into last season. People just said, I'm done. But now it's not the fact that this team can't win or they're not capable of winning games. Now it's they're capable of winning games and they refuse to do it. And that's the problem for Jeff Lebby now. We see that this team is much better. That's why people are so upset. And at what point do you say, if you're a State fan, like, I cannot do this for my own mental health, for my pocketbook. I cannot continue to support this. The starting quarterback is telling people to keep the same effing energy. He scores a touchdown and he's making gestures to the crowd. Like, what are we doing? These people are giving you a paycheck to play football, and you're 0-5 as a starting quarterback in this league. You have to prove it.
And he was getting booed, you know, early in the game.
And I understand the frustrations from him, but these are investors. These are people that are.
Well, in some way, they're your boss. They pay your salary.
This is not the old days. These people are paying the salary of this team, and they're 0-16 in the last 3 years in SEC play. You cannot say anything to these people. You cannot say anything but thank you. Thank you for coming to the games. Thank you for supporting this team that's lost 16 straight SEC games. Thank you for the money in my pocket. because most of these players will never make more than what they're making right now. Mm-hmm. And you're in a market that you've been blessed to be in. You are blessed to be on this stage making the money that you're getting. You cannot taunt the crowd.
Yeah.
You can't do it. You can't do it. Prove them wrong internally. Love it. I thought Blake Chapin played a great game. You cannot do that to the crowd.
Right.
You can't.
I agree. That's all I got for things that are true.
I feel mad.
Mississippi
State fans don't deserve this.
They don't.
They don't deserve this.
You as a person don't deserve this.
This is, in general, the Mississippi State fan base is a good-hearted, you know, good Southern hospitality fan base. Mm-hmm. A lot of blue-collar people that, you know, they work 8 to 5 jobs. Mm-hmm. And these people have done nothing to deserve what they're going through, and they continue to show up and get kicked in the nads every single week.
Right in the Jimmy.
I mean, it's insane. It's an insane process that people continue to go through, but they love this school.
Yeah.
And that's the joy, I guess, of college athletics.
That's also the
school. Of the SEC.
Yeah.
But there is a downside to it. Now, when State wins again, they will get to enjoy the thrill of victory. Yesterday would have been an incredible celebration for State fans. I wanted it so bad for them, but it just didn't happen. And you continue to wander through the wilderness, waiting for some manna from heaven, and maybe like some water coming out of a rock from somewhere. Who's going to be Moses?
Yeah. Right now, all you've got's the labors of Pharaoh right this second for Mississippi State fans. So. All right, let's move into the last part of the show. It's brought to you by our friends.
Trudging through the mud, trying to build a pyramid.
Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother, both in the Cotton District. Both great places to go grab lunch or dinner when you are in Starkville. Don't miss out on their specials today. Taco Tuesday every Tuesday. $2 tacos at Two Brothers Smoke Meats. Wing Wednesday. Get discounts on wings. The best smoked wings you'll find. It's great food, it's great people, it's a great atmosphere. It's right there in the middle of the best part of town. It's the Cotton District. It's Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother. Great products. Oh, here we go. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 50 years.
50.
That's fair.
50.
If you're looking for technology for your business, if you need a new copier, a new printer, whatever it is, call our friends at Advantage Business Systems. That way you get one thing guaranteed, service after the sale. Something goes wrong, you call them back, you talk to the same people, and they get out there and they fix it a lot of times the same day. Why? Because they're in Mississippi just like you. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go when you're looking for brand new Mississippi State gear. They've got the biggest and best selection of it. So if you're in Starkville and you need a new polo, new shirt, new pullover, whatever it is, not that you can get this pullover. This is a super tall pullover. But you see what I'm saying? You can get it at Maroon & Co. And best of all, you can save a little money because we've got a promo code. Thunder15 takes 15% off the regular price. Some exclusions do apply. What are those exclusions? I don't know. I haven't found them yet. But regardless of that, you need to head to Maroon & Co. this football season, this basketball season, this baseball season, anytime you're looking for MSU gear, the place to go is Maroon & Co. My daughter was talking today. I was like, it's supposed to rain all week. And she's like, I may be down to like one or two more mows. I was like, I think you are. You might have one more next weekend, and then we'll see. And it's a sad moment, you know, that last mow of the year. So make it a special one. Go buy yourself a brand new John Deere commercial mower from our friends at Scruggs. Get that last great mow in, and then, you know, put her on the shelf for a little while, but she'll be back in the spring in beautiful John Deere green.
I want a hot summer night.
You can enjoy great financing with their credit department. In some cases, 0% financing up to 60 months on John Deere products. It's all right there for you at Scruggs. Everything you're looking for this holiday season, guys, whatever you are looking for, you can find a gift for everybody you love. When you make a trip to Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden in Saltillo, they have what you want for less. Are you a landowner, be it 100 acres or a few thousand acres? You know as well as I do that timber is an issue. You've got to be able to maintain. You've got to be able to keep your land the way you want it. That's where Good Hope Land and Timber comes in. They've got years of experience. They've got an expert team, and they want to earn your business. They've been helping landowners in this state, in Arkansas, and Louisiana for years, and they can help you as well. Whatever is you've got going on your land, from hunting and fishing issues to, you know, timber management, thinning out, it's all no problem for the good people at Good Hope Land and Timber. Call them today, locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. It's important that you be able to let out, you know, your frustration. I feel like Robbie and I have done some things like that today. Let's talk about something else that's important.
Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
Coffee is for closers. It's brought to you by Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream, where, in my opinion, one of the best ice cream scoopers in the world works. And you should go tip her as much as you possibly can when you see her. There's no way on this planet Jeff Lebby was getting any coffee. I'm sorry, when you blow a 17-point lead like that in the fourth quarter, that's the head coach. That's all you get every inch of that blame, buddy. And not that and it's not like he made good decisions and his team let him down. This is you made bad decisions. And so you get to have no coffee. No six espresso shots shaken over ice for Jeff Lebby. No coffee for him.
2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. When it came to the SEC, Robbie, I literally could have picked every losing team because they all had something in common, right? Oklahoma, completely overrated. Probably going to fire their coach at the end of the year because they've got – this. Where's my thing? Where is it? Yeah. Oklahoma 5-2, right? Or 6-2. They're 6-2. This is their remaining schedule.
They're not good.
This is their remaining schedule. At Tennessee, at Alabama, Missouri is a little different today because they lost Pribula. And then LSU, I mean, they're probably going to lose at least two more games, probably three. I could have picked Missouri. Tough loss, lose your quarterback, not going to be good, right? I could have picked Arkansas. They had a 21-10 lead. They're cruising to their first win.
But
in conference
pick
play.
Six from Jackson Arnold.
Gross.
He's probably done, right?
I think he's done. I could have gone with Arkansas, for sure. I could have gone with Kentucky just because they're terrible. And, you know, why not? I could have just gone with Mississippi State again, to be honest with you. But LSU, to get embarrassed, like that is an all-time embarrassing loss in LSU history. Never mind that you get completely manhandled. Texas A&M takes over your – did you see this picture of all A&M fans moving to the LSU student section?
That was outside.
Because it was empty. They're singing Saul's Varsity's Horns Off in the fourth quarter.
It was a lot like the 2014 game.
But the only difference is LSU came back and they made it close. Texas A&M put their foot on LSU and ended it. LSU, Texas A&M -2.5, my executive lock of the week. I hope some of y'all bet that. That was the easiest money you'll ever make. And now they're probably going to have to pay speaking of easy money, you're going to have to pay $50, $60 million to get rid of Brian Kelly. That's done. Let's look at LSU's schedule. They've already got three losses. They're off this week. Then they're at Alabama. Then they have Arkansas. Who knows? Here's the thing with Arkansas. They can score, and LSU can't. They'll beat Western Kentucky. They're at Oklahoma to finish the year. That might be a fire your coach bowl. Whoever loses.
I said this a few weeks ago about Brian Kelly.
NBA champion. Good Lord.
I said this a few weeks ago about Brian Kelly before this stuff happened. I think he'd only lost one game at that point. It was Ole Miss. Him being fired is not off the table by any means, and now it's heating up big time.
Oh, yeah, his seat is hot now.
Yeah, they're already talking about they're going to have to start making changes, like, today on the coaching staff.
Yeah.
When you start doing that, you're just rearranging the deck chairs at that point. So it's just like Oklahoma. I don't think Brent Venables is going to be there for long.
I don't either.
They're just not.
I was not high on them preseason. I think, what did I put? I predicted them. I predicted them 4-8. I thought they'd lose to Michigan and Auburn. That they were fool's gold.
Yes.
There's just no question about that now. They're just not a good football.
Well, they played no good offenses until this week.
Yeah, and then Ole Miss moved the ball at will on them, basically.
And then, you know, Texas just drummed them defensively.
Yeah.
They're not
good.
They're not a very good team.
They're not
a
good team.
No.
Last there weren't a lot of national things that stood out to me, but South Florida losing to Memphis in a game where they had a they also had a fourth quarter lead and gave it away. Now the G6 playoff berth is so wide open. We were talking about this at lunch. It's exciting, actually. There's going to be a lot of big games in these AAC, in the Sun Belt, in the Mountain West, where UNLV is. I don't know who's going to get that bid, but South Florida, had they beaten Memphis, they would be almost a lock to be in the playoff, but now they're not. And so they were really the best option for me there. That's all I went with South Florida. Alex Golesh, I'm a big fan, but not this week. No coffee for you. All right, tomorrow we got to talk to Jeff Lebby, which means we got to talk to Jeff Lebby. I can't wait for that. We'll talk about that. We'll do our SEC pick. We didn't have any different this week, did we?
I don't think so.
No, I'm still one behind you.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait a minute. Didn't you pick Oklahoma?
Yeah, I picked Oklahoma, I think. I thought you picked Oklahoma as well.
I have to go back and listen. You might be right. I
think we both picked them because of the Ole Miss noise.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. I think you're right. Okay. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For Bobby Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.